Oncolytics is the idea that you can actually use live replicating viruses to treat people suffering from cancer. It turns out oncolytics is the oldest survivable cancer therapy. It dates to about the mid-1800s. The basis of it is the clinical observation by doctors at the time that if a patient was suffering from leukemia and they happened to contract the flu, that their leukemia would actually go into remission. In the mid-1800s, the doctors took advantage of this, and they would bring a patient who had leukemia together with a patient who had the flu, and they would intentionally inoculate the leukemia patient with influenza.
Now, did this have consistently good results way back when?
No, it was awful, which is why people haven't heard about it.
From the Medical University of South Carolina, it's Science Never Sleeps, a show that explores the science, the people, innovation, and stories behind the scenes of MUSC biomedical research at work. I'm Bobby Connor. On today's show, research that explores the use of viruses that turn on the immune system to help fight cancer. And it turns out that doctors and researchers have been curious about the connection between viruses, the immune system, and cancer for a very long time.
What's happened since the initial observation in the 1800s is that people have begun playing with the viruses genetically and kind of hacking them up to make them safer and putting things in to make them better. And it's not really until the last 15 or 20 years that this concept, which is really, really old, has begun to become kind of a clinically viable form of treatment.
That's Dr. Eric Barty. He's an associate professor of microbiology and immunology at MUSC. He's an expert on viruses, and his particular research focus is in the area of oncolytics.
Oncolytic immunotherapy is this concept of taking a virus and inoculating a cancer patient with it. And to understand how it works, you have to understand a really fundamental concept of immunotherapy in general. And that's that your immune system hates cancer. It wants to get rid of it, and it actually gets rid of cancer all the time. But when people develop cancer, they develop it because their cancer has become effective at hiding from the patient's immune system. What infection with an oncolytic virus does is it takes a tumor that has effectively become invisible to the immune system, and it plants a big flag right in the middle of it and says, I'm a viral infection. Come look at me. Once that flag is planted, the immune system now comes in and it sees not only the viral infection, but once it starts looking, it now sees the tumor that it didn't see before. And it's already wanting to get rid of that tumor. So you just have to kind of get its attention a little bit.
Now, when it comes to using viruses in the way that you just described, is there only one virus that has potential? Might many different viruses have this effect on the immune system?
There's actually a lot of viruses that are used as oncolytic agents, some of them including things that you would never think of as a cancer therapeutic, like measles virus or poliovirus, that, you know, in their kind of natural states are actually brutal human pathogens. But because the researchers have spent the time to understand the basic biology of those viruses, they're now able to genetically alter them to kind of turn them from a brutal human pathogen into this brutal pathogen that infects not people, but only human cancers.
And tell us about the research that you're doing related to this.
So our lab is interested in a specific oncolytic virus called myxoma. Myxoma is effectively smallpox for rabbits. And if you're a rabbit, myxoma is brutal. It is 100% lethal. If you're not a rabbit, it's completely safe. But through a quirk of evolutionary biology, while myxoma is not able to infect humans, it is very able to infect human cancers. And so that then lets us use it as an oncolytic cancer treatment.
In this type of oncolytic research, is this virus used alone or is it sometimes combined with another drug?
When you look at oncolytics, what oncolytics does is it turns the immune system on really, really well. But once it's turned on, oncolytics can't keep the immune system going. And so what people are really gravitating towards in this field is the combination of using oncolytics to turn the immune system on and then combining that therapy with PD-1 inhibitors, which keep the immune system on for long periods of time.
And along those same lines, what has your lab contributed?
What our lab has done is found a new way to integrate PD-1 blockade into oncolytics by generating a new genetically modified virus, which actually encodes its own PD-1 inhibitor. And what this does is not only does it make the virus much, much, much more effective than the native virus, but it also makes the combination of virus plus PD-1 inhibitor much safer than it normally is.
And what might happen next? Where's this research headed next?
We've now taken this new recombinant virus and formed a partnership with a biotech company that's now very interested in taking our work and getting it into a phase 1 clinical trial, hopefully this year.
Does one success in this field of oncolytics help all of the other researchers that are perhaps working with other viruses?
Absolutely. The people who do oncolytics work together as a group. And if your stuff has been successful, you're more than willing to help me make my stuff be successful. So this is, you know, a true case of a rising tide lifts all boats.
After talking about the science of oncolytic research, I was curious to see Dr. Barty's lab, but also to talk with him in a familiar setting about the human side of being a researcher involved in this research over the long haul. The lab is crammed full of test tubes and beakers, colored solutions, centrifuges of various sizes, and then a long row of giant super cold freezers containing cell samples, and there's a constant hum of machines in the background. I ask if much of the equipment I was seeing is especially geared to oncolytic research.
This is actually, I think, you know, one of the nice things about being an oncolytic lab. You don't need a $5 million specialized piece of equipment to be able to do this. I mean, this is very much equipment that has been in biology labs for 60 years. In fact, our main piece of equipment is a huge ultracentrifuge over there that'll spin things around at 100,000 times the force of gravity. That actual machine that we use is probably 40 years old, and it still works. In fact, a lot of this, when I came here, you know, we didn't want to spend a lot of money buying high-tech stuff because I was new, I didn't have a lot of money. We went dumpster diving and, you know, lab closes, throws stuff they don't need out in the hallway. We grabbed all of it and we still use a big chunk of it.
What are some of the steps of the main research that you're doing that falls under the umbrella of oncolytics?
So we do two basic types of studies. One of them would be in petri dishes, and those experiments are relatively simple. You take some cells, you put your virus on them, and you see what happens. The other type of studies that we do are mostly in animal models, and they're very clinically oriented. You give a mouse cancer, and then you take your virus and you try and treat the cancer, and you hope that whatever you're doing can get the cancer to go away.
What parts of the daily research in your lab get you most excited?
The thing that gets me really excited, you go upstairs, you look at your mouse, and your mouse's tumor is shrunk. I really like that. That's kind of what keeps me coming back for long days and stressful job is, you know, the possibility of taking that and actually getting it into people and having it help.
Where did your passion come from for research? Why are you in this career?
I went to a tiny little college in Eastern Washington, and as part of graduating, you had to do a senior research project. And so one summer, I went back home and I found, you know, a guy at the local college that was doing research. And I just walked up and I said, "Can I do research in your lab?" And he said, "Sure." And he didn't pay me. And there was no one in the lab. And I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. And I was horrible. And I got to go in every day and I got to do something different. and it was exciting. And at the end of the summer, I had accomplished absolutely nothing, but it got me really hooked on the process of struggling through questions by myself and trying to figure out, why is this happening and how do I make it better? How do I solve this? And, you know, then I graduated and I said, well, what do I want to do? And I said, wow, I really enjoyed that summer.
And here you are, how many years later in research?
17, 18, 18 at this point.
And do you have this mindset as a researcher that what you're doing to make a difference is really over the long haul? In other words, can you pace yourself so that you know this really is a long commitment?
It is. And if you're looking for something where you're going to miraculously come up with something and tomorrow cancer is going to go away, you're going to be very disappointed, because that's simply not how research works, and that's, you know, not realistic, and it's frankly never going to happen. But if you look at it, we're a lot better now than we were 5 years ago, and we're a lot better 5 years ago than we were 15 years ago. And that plays out not only in the basic understanding of what's happening and all these pathways and molecular details and all of this, but it plays out in terms of actual outcomes for patients.
What about collaboration or getting ideas from other researchers? How important is that to you in your research?
This is an absolutely central to our research. I am not a cancer guy by training. I'm a virus guy. I was trained for years understanding the basic biology of what amounts to smallpox for rabbits. But to be able to use it therapeutically, now I need to understand cancer and I need to understand the immune system. And so I collaborate with people. It's actually the reason I came to MUSC, is they had a really good immunology group here. And I said, I want to be part of that group. And now I'm the virus people. And, you know, it works both ways. You know, some of the other researchers here who are trained in immunology or trained in cancer biology, you know, they've started working with us and now they're doing a little bit with virus here and there. And I'm doing a little bit with immunology here and there. And, you know, I think more and more that's just how science is going to go.
What makes you optimistic about immunotherapy and the improvements for immunotherapy as far as cancer treatment?
The thing that really generates a lot of excitement for me, as well as I think the rest of the scientific community, is the fact that when you look at the outcomes of immunotherapy, you see survival curves that are bending up. And you see people starting to talk in terms of, this is the cure rate that we got. We had a 20% cure rate. We had a 30% cure rate. And those cure rates are not great, but outside of immunotherapy, the discussion is not cure rates. And so the expansion of immunotherapy, I think, has fundamentally altered how clinicians and researchers are viewing the possible outcomes for some of these challenging cancers, not in just pushing a survival curve 6 months to the right, but actually bending the curve up and saying, 2 out of 10 people, I can cure you. You can walk away, you're done. And now the challenge is, how do we get 2 out of 10 and 3 out of 10 to 6 out of 10 and 8 out of 10 and 10 out of 10? And I think that's what the hope and the goal is in, you know, the next few years.
And what makes you optimistic about oncolytics as cancer treatment, as an improved cancer treatment in the future?
The people that are getting oncolytic treatments are frequently getting them as last resorts. They're people that have had 4, 5, 6 other treatments and their cancer's come back and it's come back and it's come back. And even in those people, oncolytics still shows successes. And so when you can see success in patients like that, then you can really say, wow, this is something fundamentally different. It's really a completely different strategy.
Dr. Eric Barty is an associate professor of microbiology and immunology and a researcher focusing on oncolytics and oncolytic immunotherapy in the Barty Lab at MUSC. I'm Bobby Connor with Science Never Sleeps from the Medical University of South Carolina.